Alphabets Lesson 17. Wow, this has been just such an incredible journey to be on. And I was just visiting with our 17th guest, talking to him about, oh, that was a sneak peek. It's a he. Talking about all the different types of situations and just all the different stories that have come together through listening to the different guests. I have got to tell you this super funny story about this guest, and I think I should nickname him Grease Lightning, because when we come into the agency in the morning and I'm quietly walking up the stairs to put away my lunch pail, which is on the fourth floor, literally this person is like a bolt of lightning past me on the stairs. He does everything fast. Everything he does is with urgency, energy, but I know that with what he does, there's a lot of love and passion in his heart. And I would love to introduce you to our 17th Braille Bits guest, Enrique. How do you say your last name?
Mejia.
Mejia. See, yeah. Enrique was going to say it correctly. And I would have probably messed up on that. I don't want to mess up anybody's name. But Enrique is our technology instructor for the Orientation Center. I have to say, one thing I've always known about you is that when you enter a room, you simply say, oh, yep, here's Enrique. He's arrived on the scene. And that is, I love that about you. You're confident. And I just wanted to say that. I had to get that out of the way. But Enrique, you've had a great journey in your life, and you are a big part of what our agency does. And how did you get to where you are today? Can you just share your story about Enrique and Braille?
Certainly. And thank you for having me, first of all. I want to start, and I don't want to go too far back, but I moved to the United States with my family 25 years ago. I was 11 at the time, so kind of aging myself. And I, when I arrived to the U.S., I mean, I had never really had services. My parents, of course, knew that I couldn't see very well, but there were no services in Mexico to speak of. I had a private tutor who kind of, you know, taught me to read and print and get me as far as she could. In education, because the schools didn't have the services, and even private schools, you know, would often tell my parents, no, he really can't, you know, come to our school. For the first 5 years of education, I went to school at this teacher's house. Her name was Teresa, she's still with us. And so she's the one who really took the time to teach me to read, and you know, somebody who values education, and you know, she taught me. My parents, the school system out there, would not recognize that I went through an education system, and you know, even her and my parents, they kind of fought with the Mexican state to say no, that what he has learned has value and you will recognize it.
Absolutely.
And so when I got here, when I got to the States in 95, it was the first time I walked into what I would call just a general ed classroom with other kids and being around other people. And I remember one of the first things that I was kind of told, shared the story with me by the school nurse, is that when I first arrived, I couldn't speak English. So they were trying to teach me. And so they decided, well, we're going to put him in special ed classroom because he doesn't seem to be able to learn things. And so then the nurse happened to be observing that class one day. And so she kind of thought, I don't think that he can't learn. I don't think he can see. So she called in like the vision services. I got my vision teacher, Mrs. Cynthia Pontianen. She came, she, you know, worked with me and taught me to type, which is really one of the awesome things that kind of helps my job. And then she, you know, I started to use a lot of visual aids as far as, you know, magnifiers, CCTVs and so forth. But I never really learned, you know, as much as I love her very much and as much as she worked hard to help me get through school, one of the things that I didn't learn was Braille. Because it's really more based on the standard, or what I feel is the standard way to educate students who are low vision, is to see how much somebody can see and then put print in front of them. So then, you know, I graduated high school and then went to college, and that's kind of when things started to show. It's usually when those supports are not there, those daily supports that the school system has, when they're not there, when you start to see the giant cracks in education. I struggled through college quite a bit. You know, I had to read print. The smallest print I can read even to this day is probably around 24 point. That's like right up close to my face.
Right.
And that was very difficult. I mean, classes were hard. And at some point, you know, I had, large print documents, and I had a CCTV and I could magnify things. But I was reading very slow, and at some point along the way, I thought, well, maybe I'm just not smart enough for college. Because everything seemed to be such a struggle. Everything. I mean, I could, you know, friends could just open up books and read and get the information they needed. And I just, every time I tried to just open up a book and start reading, it was, of course, headache inducing. It was frustrating. It was emotionally draining, because what it took other friends to get, you know, friends would go to parties and you know, hang out with people. But for me, I spent so much time in front of a screen.
You spent so much time and have in the energy of just simply trying to make sense of probably one assignment or.
Yeah.
I am just, I'm kind of in suspense at when you did find Braille and when Braille found you, because had Braille been a part of that journey when you were little, and Braille is not hard to learn, it's simple to learn, would that have not been so different for you?
And I can tell you that once I learned Braille, and I'll go back to a story that kind of already gave me a hint when I was younger that Braille was important. It's just I could never really figure out why. But I'm going to say that when I learned Braille, you know, when I was, you know, about 5-6 years ago, and I really, really learned Braille. I mean, I knew about Braille, but really learned the code, was able to read things, and was able to really grow in my confidence with myself. And I ended up going to get my National Orientation and Mobility Certificate from Louisiana Tech. And when I had now this resource where I could read things, I loved going back to school. It was no longer this sort of frustrating, awful thing that I just wanted to be over with. I enjoyed talking to my teachers. I felt like in class I had something to contribute, and because I was able to get access to the information I needed. And Braille's the tool that powered me to be able to do that. When you're reading a textbook, you're not getting, you're getting information, but the context of how it's coming, you need that. It's important to visualize it. And I feel like with audio, it's a lot more difficult. I mean, I know it's a lot more difficult, because once I had that Braille in front of me and I see the structure of a sentence, even though at that time I was still not very efficient with it, I could tell where a comma was, a period on a sentence that I was reading. That really, I think, is so incredibly empowering. And going through school, you know, one of the things I kind of just sat there and I realized I can read. I'm here sitting here, Denise, and I'm 30 years old, and I graduated from high school and I went through college, and yet I'm sitting here and I'm just like kind of get a little bit emotional because I realized I can read. I can read. It is a very powerful feeling, and I got it because of Braille.
I don't know if anybody's talked about this yet or not. I don't know, but Tim, you would know, kind of being a part of this too. I've heard you mention the word confidence I've heard you mention it a couple of times, but confidence never really found you, I guess, until you were older. And I know we all struggle. I mean, we could probably get on a whole nother podcast on that, you know, to be a child and a kid, you know, just growing up. But I'm really happy that you shared that and talked about that, because that is, it's just so, I think that's why I get so wound up about Braille and kids and learning Braille and learning Braille young, or, you know, whatever age you are wanting to learn Braille. I mean, you are partnering up with young adults, teaching them Braille, and, you know, just talking about Braille and technology and how that all intertwists and interties in together. And sometimes, you know, people think because they have now I'm going to get off on a tangent for a second, but because there is technology, and I know you love technology because you teach technology, but because they have something they can listen to it, which is fine to have a lot of tools in your toolbox, Braille's important. You know, you can't just listen to something.
I, you know, it's one of those things that I gotta tell you, Denise, like, people ask me, it's like, what's the most important thing to learn? And Braille is always the first thing that comes to my mind. Cane travel is important for somebody blind. Absolutely. But I feel like it's just like, it's almost like it's right. The cane travel and Braille are the two things. And I really could never choose which one's more important, because they're both very important. But in anything, I feel like that power that sometimes I don't think people realize the power that Braille has. And if I may, if you allow me for a second, this is one of the things that I kind of realized when I was about 13 or 14 years old. And it didn't click until farther later in my life. But I was in a play. We had a Dr. Seuss play in school. And well, at this organization for the blind, and we, all the kids, were going to be in a play. And the part that I really wanted, it was a Dr. Seuss play, and the part I really wanted was the narrator. I wanted to be the narrator. That was like the part I really, really badly wanted. And and so I wanted that part really badly. And I tried to kind of explain how I would do it. And of course, thinking back on it, I knew I couldn't have done it with a CCTV. But then I saw that the part went to somebody who could read Braille and did a fine job. And I think that's when it hit, like, how come I can't do that? She doesn't, you know, my friend who got it, the part to be the narrator, I said, you know, she doesn't need this big bulky machine. She can read so well. How come I can't do it? And that didn't really connect, I think, until I started learning Braille. And I don't know, that's a story I was remembering when you asked me to be a part of the podcast, is how Braille, not knowing Braille as a blind person, limited my life so much.
I wish we could put parentheses around that and put little flashing lights on that and put Braille on all the walls and just say what you just said. I think that's just really, and I thank you for sharing your story and just all of your story, and I appreciate it. Enrique, I'm going to ask you this question. Are you ready to help me with part of lesson 17?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Okay. So lesson 17 of Braille Bits talks about the final letter group signs and how they are the two cell contractions that are formed by preceding the final letter of common letter combinations by DOTS 4.6 or DOTS 5.6. And so basically, so it's, for example, DOT 4.6 and the letter D, DOT 4.6 the letter E, and DOT 4.6 the letter N, and DOT 4.6 the letter S, and DOT 4.6 the letter T, and they go on the end. But what is very interesting is if you notice, the last letter of the letter grouping is prominent in the final letter group sign. So O-U-N-D ends with the D, and so we have DOT 4.6 and the letter D. Ants ends with the letter E, and so it has DOT 4.6 and the letter E, and on down. But you, I know you, Enrique,
okay,
have a little tip for us. What is your tip?
The count danced with boundless passion.
One more time, because that sounded like music to my ears.
The count danced with boundless passion.
So tell us about that.
For instance, you have DOT 4.6D, which is O-U-N-D,
mm-hmm,
with bound. Then you have that 4.6 E, that's A-N-C-E.
Uh-huh.
For danced. Then you have that 4.6 N, which is for passion, is I-O-N. Then you have 4.6 S, it's kind of skipped a little bit. It's L-E-S-S or boundless. And then, of course, DOT 4.6 T, O-U-N-T for count.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. See, I love tips like that. I think they're great because it helps you put it quickly into perspective by just saying it one time, and then it connects and it sticks. That's great.
I think those little things are very important into making Braille even easier than already is, because one of the characters that I had a little bit of it was a little bit tricky for me was the I and the E. So mm-hmm. I is 2.4 and E is 1.5. So then my teacher would tell me is I to the sky, so because it slants up, and then E to the earth because it slants down. So that's 1.5. So those are little tricks that I again, makes Braille even easier, again, than everybody is.
Did you say the word easier?
Way easier.
I know it. Did we say the word easier? I think easier. We did.
Yeah.
And you know what? Braille is easy. Braille is not hard. Braille is fun. Braille is essential.
Yes.
Braille does so many things. So do you want to add anything else before we say goodbye?
No, I would just like to say thank you. And I think everything that we can say has been said is that Braille is extremely important. I think Braille is the key.
Absolutely. Well, I want to tell you again, thank you so much, Enrique.
Thank you, guys. Sharing
your time with us and just being here with us. I can't tell you how much I value your presence here today. So you take care. I will be watching for you and listening for you in the hallways. And you have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.